Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Let me draw your attention to your Bible. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to get there and we're going to read a text that has to do with our launching of a series beginning this morning on the subject of ask. It's a series on prayer. We've been preparing for this for a while. We feel it's so important that we kind of get back into this subject and get a greater understanding of what Jesus meant when he taught this prayer to his disciples. Now, that was 2,000 years ago or so, but we that are here today that are believers, we're still disciples of Christ. We would probably ask him the same question if he were here today, Lord, teach us to pray, as the disciples did. So we want to learn something. If something is taught, there needs people to be listened and to be taught. So we want to learn something today. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've asked you to text us some questions that you might have. Well, we gathered those questions, and our purpose then will be for 3 weeks, beginning today, is to answer these questions in a direct way sometimes or an indirect way. And you'll find out why in just a moment what I mean by an indirect way. I think we can see and get answers to our prayer. So we will do that. And I encourage you to follow with us on your text messages on this journey that we're going to take today. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 is our text that mentions the word ask. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you what? Oh, come on, you got to do better than that. I might as well sit down. You got to ask. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But we're to ask. You have not because you ask not. So we need to ask. God wants us to ask, but I think there's a way to approach God that we're going to talk about today. First of all, when I think about prayer, my prayer life or the prayer life of other people, I found this to be true. I love to pray the prayers of the Bible. I think one of the easiest ways for me to stay focused when I do pray is to understand what kind of prayers were prayed in the Bible. So you can go all the way back to the Old Testament and you see the prayers that were prayed. And then you go to the New Testament and you find people like Paul and Timothy and Jesus, prayers that they prayed. And as you read those prayers, so I plant that seed in your heart, that as you read those prayers, it's going to help you in giving direction in your prayer life. For example, Paul's prayer, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. He said, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. So immediately I can see myself being moved and saying, God, I really do want an understanding and a discernment in my life so I can discern between good and evil, what is right and wrong. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 1, what a great prayer for each and every one of us. He said, I do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention in my prayers that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Father, Lord, I want my eyes to be open. I want not just my physical eyes, but Lord, I want my spiritual eyes to be open that all you have provided for me and you have for my life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, I do not cease to pray for you, Paul said, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. Can you see how this helps us? It plants that word, which is the inspired word, the breath of God himself, in our hearts so we can pray these prayers back to him. For this reason, Paul said, Ephesians 4, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. God, I feel so weak. Lord, I feel like sometimes I hardly can put one foot in front of the other with all the challenges of life. But Lord, I pray for the strength that comes from you on the inner man to continue on. Jesus prayed a great prayer in John chapter 17. The whole chapter is Jesus praying to his Father. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me. Lord, I want to be one. I want to be one with my husband. I want to be one with my wife. I want to be one with my children. Lord, remove the conflict of my life so that I can walk in unity. In the Psalms, you could actually call it a book of prayers. The Psalms are one of my favorite because what you find in the Psalm is the reality of life itself. So the prayers that go up in Psalms are sometimes out of sadness and sometimes out of joy. A lot of times out of conflict and the war that is raging against them. And these prayers go up to God and help us know how to pray out of our conflict and what to believe for. But of all the prayers in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer is, I think, is one of the most significant prayers. And I fear that because of my background and maybe the background of others, that we see this prayer, but we kind of pass by it real quick. Because in many of our lives, it was repetitive prayer. It was just saying it. It came from the mind, but it didn't come from the heart. So I think we all have a tendency to look at this and say, okay, it's just a few verses, but it is so significant. So our intention is to really bear down and unwrap the profound truths in this prayer. I thought of three words as I was praying for this series. I thought of practical, profound, and prophetic. I thought there's a practical part to this prayer. There's a structure, there's a guideline, but Lord, there's got to be more than that. And then I begin to see that there were things that were profound. Inspirational, like light bulbs going off in my spirit, and prophetic, because if you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you're praying prophetically that something in the future will happen. And when you pray and ask God for direction in your future, it's prophetic, and you believe it's going to happen. The question is, why did Jesus teach this outline? What was it about every sentence, every word that was so important? Because I believe Jesus was very selective in his words. I don't think it was off the cuff, okay, here, pray this way. It came from the inspired word of God. So there was thought put into it. And there's something very significant. We're going to camp on one of those thoughts here this morning. And I want this prayer to be true to life. Because that's what it is. It's true to life. And what I mean by that, if you think about the whole prayer, let me read it. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Jesus answers their question. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice, there's a combination of the spectacular things and the simple things. There's a combination, and as you break this down, of the big and the small. You're talking about God hallowing his name, his kingdom, his will, and then we start to talk about our practical needs. I think in everyone's life, there are the breathtaking things that take place. But then there are the boring things that happen in life. There are the fantastic things and the familiar things. Those are the extraordinary things and the ordinary things in our life. There's the awesome experiences every once in a while we have to the very average things that we have each and every day. There's the exotic and the everyday. And that's the way life is. That's how this prayer is structured. Now look at it. It's broken down into two major parts. The first has three petitions, and the second are three petitions. I want you to notice this. We're asking God in the first three to bring about three things. Cause your name to be hallowed. Cause your kingdom to come, and cause your will to be done. And the second part is, Lord, We need food. We need bread. We need provision. We need forgiveness, Lord. And we need to forgive others. And Lord, we need protection. There's a battle we're in against the evil one and temptations. The Lord, help us. So you have the high and lofty prayers that lift us up and to get our focus on heaven. And then you have the reality of everyday needs. The first three petitions are about God's name, about God's kingdom, about God's will. We're focused on the bigness of God. We're drawn to God, and our attention is upward toward Him. But the second three, we're focused on the nitty-gritty, the needs of life, our needs, and the attention is drawn to us and what I need. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. Look at this verse with me. It says that He, speaking of God, has put eternity in their hearts. I want you to imagine. It said that He put eternity. So in each and every one of us, every believer, follower, there's an element of eternity been placed in our heart. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. To me, this shows us, I mean to take that we as believers, we live in this tension. We live in this mystery of life, the tension between heavenly focus, knowing that there's something in us that is eternal, and yet the mystery that I live right here. Not just the awesome experiences, but the not so often. And I thought of this verse where it says that we have this treasure. Put your hand on your heart just a moment. We have this treasure, this eternity in our heart, this treasure, it's in clay pots. So it's encapsulated with this clay pot. And what happens to clay pots? They break. And they have to be mended. There's a weakness about it. And this flesh of ours surrounds this eternal thing that's happening inside of us. To me, it's a great mystery. And that's how this prayer is. It's the wonder of eternity pointed out, woven into the ordinary things of life. I hope you're following me with this. And I think there was a real focus in Jesus' mind, a real message here. Verse 9, looking back at it, Father, cause your great holy name to be honored, to be esteemed, to be treasured, to be loved, to be valued above all things. Verse 10 says, Father, cause your glorious, sovereign, kingdom rule without obstruction come everywhere in the universe, especially right here in my heart. Verse 10 goes on to say, cause your all wise, your all good, your all just, your all holy will to be done all over the world the way it is done in heaven. This is the breathtaking part of the prayer. When we pray, we are caught up into great things, glorious things, global things, eternal things. And that's what God wants to happen. He wants that to happen in our lives. So there's a reason this prayer begins the way it does. First thing to say about it. There's a reason for this structure. There's a reason for this outline that goes beyond just a guide for our prayer life. But there's a message in it, the way it's laid out. And I guess in this message, I'm saying, and what I want to happen more than anything else, this is the cry of my heart. It's like I was crying myself for this to happen, but it's like come on up. Start your prayers with an upward look. Come on up into the first part of the prayer. Now, never take your feet off the ground. Never think that you can go without food. Never think that you can go without forgiveness or forgiving other people. Never think that you can go without protection in this battle of sin, keeping our feet planted on the earth. But come on up into the first part. God wants us to taste something. He wants to engage us in something. He wants to have your heart. taken with his name, his kingdom and his will. Back in verse 9, because that's really where we're going to focus, 9 and 10. Our Father, say it, our Father. Our Father in heaven. So we have the Our Father. When you say the word Father, it's a tenderly expression, Father. And it tells us this is a part of our Father. He's concerned with and he's involved in our life like a father, like a dad. And no dad, no good father would ever allow their child to go without their needs being met. So it's our Father, but the reality, he's in heaven. He's enthroned in glory. Angels are assigned to cry, holy, holy, holy. The vision of heaven, when people were drawn up into that, changed their lives. So changed them, it was life transforming. And it's the way it is today. If you see, not only our Father, but Lord, you're in heaven. And I don't always want to keep my eyes down here in the challenges of this life, but Lord, I need to see you in all that glory. And because there's something planted in me that's eternally, I'm drawn. There's a part of me, but I'm held back by this clay pot. I've often said, and I've even said it to you, after a praise and worship experience, I come up here and I say, I couldn't find the words to express what I really feel in my heart. It's not part of our vocabulary even. God, I so want to break loose of this clay pot, which someday I know is going to happen. And when I'm free, it would be like a bird being let out of a cage that just flies and soars to heaven. Someday this clay pot will be broken and I'll be able to soar there because of my relationship with him. And I want it here so much, but I know I'm strapped a little bit with the reality of life. So it's our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Say it with me, hallowed be your name. Now, there's something unique. This is the first petition. There's something unique about this first petition. It's one of a kind in all of the six petitions. Three and three, six of them. But there's something unique. This has everything to do with a heart experience that everybody, God wants everybody to get. Hallowing is something you do in here. It's something that is expressed from in here. It, maybe there's an outward expression, but it comes from what's happening here. And I might lift my hands, but the reality is it begins in here. I'm hallowing God because in my heart, I'm crying out to him. I want to honor him. I want to esteem him. I want to put him first, and I don't want anything else to hinder the relationship I have, so it's happening in my heart. I want to howl, praise him. I want to reverence him. I want to sanctify. I set him apart as equal to none other. There's a treasure. You esteem, you respect, you stand in awe. It's something that goes on in your heart, and this prayer begins with your heart. You don't jump over this and go to, I need this, I need this, I need this. Lord, would you help me here? I need a healing here. My friend needs this. No, we don't start there. We start with a heart experience. God, I'm coming to you for who you are. For nothing else, oh God. I come to you for who you are. There's a reason it's first. Now notice it's combined with his name. Hallowed be your name. Doesn't say, hallowed be God, or give reverence and esteem to God. It says his name, and there's a reason for that. When you begin to understand what his name means, it brings us a lot closer to the being, the personhood of God, a lot closer to the character of God that none of the other petitions do. Because his name is who he is. Think about that. Hallowed be your name means hallowed be you, God. All throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, we have revelation of God's name. when Moses was going down to deliver the children of Israel, what was God said? Say that the great I am. We sang about it. I am that I am. All right, that begins to describe who he is. He's everything. But going along, we find that, you know, there are other times his name was revealed. God the provider, God Jehovah Jireh. And then Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. Jehovah the shepherd. So you put all those together and you begin to get a picture. So when you pray, hallowed be your name, I want to begin to think about all the names of God revealed in the scripture. Lord, you are my provider. You are my comfort. You are my peace. You're my shepherd, oh God. So hallowed be. Lord, holy is your name. You're holy. The name is who he is. I'm hallowing, treasuring, esteeming. I'm honoring Yahweh, God. So here's what I think. Not only do we have a structure of three petitions and then three petitions, but we have one and then the five come underneath that. And the whole purpose of this message, this introductory message to ask to our prayer life, is that you have to get one in place before the other five begin to happen. I hallow your name, Lord, first of all. You don't hallow God's name because of an end result. Lord, I'm not just coming and I'm lifting you up and trying to somehow, Lord, make you do the rest of these, and you're only thinking about, no, you hallow his name. You don't go for an end result. You go, the position of presenting yourself before God is for no other reason except to give him honor. I give you honor. I want you to be number one in my life. Lord, all these other things, Lord, I don't want, and here's what's going to happen. As you begin to do that, what happens? The rest of it falls in place. It's like I started where God, Jesus taught me, here's where you start. And it wasn't that he doesn't know that we have these needs and there are times we're going to cry out for those needs. But as a practice, I start there. He teaches us to pray the biggest request first. God made you to be part of something spectacular. He made you to be part of something significant. Now, here's where we need to be careful. Listen carefully. If we only pray prayers out of desperation of needs, and it doesn't mean that we cannot at times cry out. When your back's against the wall, Lord, help me. No, but as a practice, as something that goes on in your life. If we only focus on our problems, something happens. You'll shrink up. You're around the problem, around the set of problems. You begin to shrink up. Your spiritual life begins to shrink. Although you're praying these prayers to God, if we're not doing the first, there's something out of whack. It's not balanced. There's a reason Jesus begins with this prayer. He wants us to be drawn up. Hallowed be your name, our attention, your kingdom come. Your will. God, this is all about you. Now, when we lose grip on the greatness of God, when you lose grip on his name and his kingdom and his will, there's something that happens. Your life goes out of balance. Your equilibrium is off. Let me give you an example. I know that when I get congested, stuffed up, and things begin to get stuffy and congested in my head, what comes with that stuffiness and congestion is a dizziness. It happens to me when I get congested. I just get a little dizzy, and I feel myself kind of getting dizzy. So it's become almost like an indicator to me that something's going on up in here. And it doesn't have to be fully manifested in it, but it begins to happen because that congestion is set in. It happened to me this week. I'm getting ready to go to Israel this afternoon. I'm going to be flying to Israel. So earlier on in the week, as I'm thinking about everything in this prayer, and this I sense this dizziness. And right away I knew that something's happening up here that because I'm getting on a long flight and going to be gone for the 10 days, I need to go. So I went to our great Dr. David Van Kooten in our church here, and I told him, I said, something's going on in congestion, and guess what? I have a sinus infection. But I knew it right away that I had it, so right away he's giving me some things to take care of that. But this is, I want you to get the picture here. When you get congested, when you get wrapped up, when you get so focused and stuffed, you're stuffed with problems and cares of this world and the wants and needs, and if that's where your focus is, you're going to get, your life's out of balance. You've lost something. You'll begin to walk in a fog. And you'll wonder why. Because you see, you got to have the heart thing right first. The first thing has to be that Lord, hallowed be your name. Lord, I sanctify you. We have to keep hold. So I urge you, here's what I urge you to do. Not a long message, but the most important one in this whole series. If this doesn't happen, you can go by an outline, and it'll be nothing more than structure. It'll be nothing more than, but the revelation, the profound part about it, the prophetic part about it is that, Lord, I want my heart right first. And God by His Spirit then, as I'm praying, God, I want to take time. Lord, I have all these needs, but Lord, help me. Spirit of God, help me not to wrap myself so much in. I don't want my life to be out of balance. Therefore, Lord, you're number one. Lord, I want to sanctify your name. Lord, I reverence, I esteem. Lord, you're above all these problems. You're above everything else in my life. Every need that I have, Lord, you're above that. So I want to hallow your name. I want to do that first.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.